depths of the terrible visions convinced him that he must rid his beloved home of the foul sorcery. He had lost count of how long they had spent crossing the great ocean, and he began to give up hope. Perhaps he should simply have cast it into the water and have done with it. No sooner had the thought passed through his mind than a cry rang out, "Land! I see land!" He tore his gaze away from the crate to see a tiny speck of green on the horizon. An island! Was this the place the gods had chosen? As if in reply, the sun was blotted out. Thunder boomed and the wind roared. A chill ran down his spine. He understood. Jupiter had set the island before him as a safe haven, but Pluto called him to the world of the dead. "We must get to the island before the storm reaches us," he shouted. His men bent to their oars, and he felt the boat surge forward. He looked back, mesmerized, as the dark clouds rolled in, the hand of the underworld reaching out for him. "We must make it," he whispered. "We must." Chapter 1.
Good morning, folks. It's a blustery day here in Paradise with winds picking up overnight. It's 6 a.m., and if you're the bright-eyed and bushy-tailed type who's up at this hour, you'd better get your trash cans back in the garage. Looks like we're expecting quite a storm this morning.
Dane Maddock rolled onto his back, his bed sheets wrapped around his torso like a python as he turned. Extending his hand, he clumsily felt about for the alarm clock, knocking over a half-empty water glass before hitting the snooze button. His eyes closed to the intrusive light seeping in from between the wooden blinds and groaned. The news had warned the residents of Key West that a hurricane was heading their way, and the fact that he could hear the boat boys hanging on the exterior wall of his condominium thumping against the slats meant it wasn't far off. The last thing he wanted to do was face another hurricane. Living in Key West had its benefits, to be sure, but five hurricanes in one year was downright exhausting. Tugging the sheets away, he rose and stretched. His spine cracked in response to the immense effort, making him groan. It wasn't especially hard work keeping in shape, but he had noticed it took more than it used to when he was in his 20s. Not that he could really complain. He was fitter than most men 10 years his junior. Still, the fact that aches and pains had begun to sneak up on him had not gone unnoticed. He dropped to his hands and pounded out a few push-ups before righting himself and opening the blinds. The tropical waters had darkened to a deep gray, the tips of the choppy water foamy and white. Palm trees swayed to and fro like drunken fan dancers. Maddock frowned at the foreboding scene. The ocean was not just angry, it was livid. From this vantage point he could just glimpse the marina where sea foam was moored. She bobbed up and down, slamming into the sides of the slip and dipping sharply against the violent waves. Crap! Seafoam had withstood worse, and he was confident she'd weather this storm, but he hated seeing her take a beating. Maddock actually spent most of his time aboard the 80-foot motor yacht, traveling the world with his crew of professional marine salvage experts, which sounded a lot better than treasure hunters, searching for lost shipwrecks and, well, treasure. It was more a home to him than the condo. Dressing quickly, he headed out the front door to the third-floor balcony. Heavy wind ruffled his short blonde hair, and a spray of sand swatted at his arms and legs, stinging like pinpricks.
"You ever see anything like that?"
Tom Benson, his next-door neighbor, stood at the rail, shielding his face with a hand. His hot pink Bermuda shorts flapped against his thighs as if desperately trying to rid themselves of him.
"Not in some time,"
Maddock waved, doing his best not to glance at the old man's bare, fuzzy chest. Tom, a retired Vietnam vet, had lived next door almost as long as Maddock could remember. In fact, he'd moved in just a few weeks after Maddock himself, and in all that time he had never shown the least inclination towards self-consciousness. Tom rubbed a tattooed arm before pointing out at the ocean.
"It's like someone high up's pissed off."
Maddock hated when people ascribe divine motives to natural disasters, even in jest, but he laughed politely.
"Either that or Neptune's got his toga in a twist."
A palm frond blew toward him, and he snatched it out of the air before it could wallop him upside the head.
"I've got to check on Seafoam before this stuff really hits the fan."
"That would be wise."
Tom wiped his forehead free of the stinging sand.
"I guess I don't have to tell a frogman to be careful down there."
Frogman was an old-school name for members of the Navy's elite underwater demolition team, which had later transformed into the SEALs. The acronym stood for Sea, Air, Land,